Have you ever gotten a gift for your birthday or for Christmas? And you have this wonderful gift and it's wrapped so nice, but you don't know what's inside until you unwrap it. I want to preach, and I don't mean for it to be controversial. When I made my mind up several weeks ago to deal with this, I knew immediately I was in for a spiritual battle. And brother, I'm telling you, hell has unleashed every force that it has. But I'm still standing. God's grace is good. Some of you will not agree with some of the things I'm going to say over the next few weeks. But I didn't put this out for a vote. I'm not running for office. Praise God, everybody else is. But it's overlooked. Because I'm going to deal with the subject on how to unwrap your spiritual gift. And we don't hear a lot about spiritual gifts preached in churches. And usually it's either one extreme or the other. It is so looked upon like it is a badge of honor, or it spiritually puts people over somebody else. And that's not why God gave us spiritual gifts. Most people, to my amazement, they also tend to put spiritual gifts in just one category out of 1 Corinthians 12. But really, I'll be looking over the next few weeks at three different sections of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12 is one, Romans 12 is the other. But when it comes to spiritual gifts, really the foundation of it to begin with is found in Ephesians chapter 4. And that's where I'll be going today. Ephesians chapter 4. And some people, when they look at that, they only want to take 1 Corinthians 12 and look at those gifts. I won't be dealing with each one of the gifts, but I'll be dealing with some of the gifts that are very controversial. And I realize that there is a multitude of interpretation of Scripture in our congregation. We're a community church. We have people from different backgrounds, different walks of life. They've been taught different things. And I'm not dealing with any of this in a negative way. I'm trying to get you to a place where that you can understand getting saved is not the end of it. It's the beginning of a wonderful life. And God, in His infinite mercy, has given these gifts to help us. And it's not gifts just for preachers or pastors or leaders in a church. Someone asked a little girl one time, said, "Do you know the difference between clergy and laity?" And the little girl looked at it and said, "Yeah." Said, "The pastor gets paid for being good, and the laity are good for nothing." And that's the way that a lot of people look at it. They feel like, "I'm not good for anything. I come, I sit in a pew, and what's this all about?" But the truth of the matter is, there is a gift that is instilled to each one of us, or else you'll have to go contrary to what the Scripture has to say. Now, you'll be glad to know I've got this broken down, that I'm not like a lot of preachers. You know, when they preach a sermon, they don't have a getting out point. Every preacher here, listen to me, every point you have should have an exit point. And I'm glad you're thrilled about it, but when you get in the hour zone, I'm tired. I want to go home. Oh, I'm moving on. I can tell you're thrilled. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's begin reading with verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. "But unto every," what's the next few words? "One of us." Now, let's stop right there. You've got to grasp that. He didn't say some of us, two of us, 10 of us, a few of us, most of us. But He said, "Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of" what? "The gift of Christ. Wherefore," He saith, "when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive." And what's the next two words? gave gifts unto men. The word men there means creation. That's not just male in that particular phrase. He's talking about the world, the scope of Christians, those in the family of God. He has a gift for you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He has a gift for me. Everyone has at least one gift. Verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, which means completion, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I'll stop reading there. I won't have time to cover all of that, but I want to share just a few things with you about these gifts that I'm going to talk about over the next few weeks and preach on. Spurgeon probably put it best in an illustration one time that I read. Some of you maybe have read some of his writings too. But he talked about going to a poorhouse to visit an elderly lady. And in this poorhouse, the elderly lady had practically nothing. But for some reason, when they took her to the poorhouse, years ago they didn't have nursing homes back in the 1800s. It was just houses that when people got to the place, no one was there to care for them. They had no money. It was the only way to keep a little shelter over them and give them a little comfort until they died. He said the poor woman had nothing. Nothing. She came in practically with just the clothes on her back. She had very few belongings, personal belongings, but she had one thing. And he said, he looked around and he said, I saw a beautiful framed piece of art on the wall. And he said, I asked her about it. And she said, well, that came from an invalid man. She said, after my husband died, said I had no income. Of course, there was no Social Security, no way of surviving. And she said, I took care of an invalid man. I was a caregiver for him. And said, when he died, before he died, he called me to his side and said, I want you to have this as an expression of my thanks for what you have done. And she said, and I had an old frame, so I framed it. And she said, it's just a reminder of him and his friendship to me and how the Lord had placed me there to be able to be a help to him. And he said, do you mind if I look at it? Because I haven't really seen anything quite like it. So he got it down off the wall, and when he examined it a little closer, he said, is it okay if I take it out of the frame? She said, certainly. So he took it out of the frame, and what it was a folder, or a covering rather, a wrapper, for another instrument of paper that was inside. It was so decorative because of the value of it. He opened it up, and inside was this man's will. He was extremely wealthy, and he had willed everything to her. But she had never looked inside. She had just framed it because it was so pretty on the outside that she thought it was a picture to remind herself of him. C.H. Spurgeon took it to the local bank. And the bank said, this man was worth an extremely large amount of money. We have searched everywhere for this will. He left in a safe the knowledge that the will existed. We have all of the money. So here was a woman living in a poorhouse. Living in a poorhouse with one framed picture,
when all she had to do was take the cover off of it and look inside and she had all of her needs provided. I'm here to tell you, week after week I preach in churches and deal with Christians that yes, they come to church and yes, they carry a Bible. But the thing about it is, don't just look at the wrapper. Let's look at the inside and see what God has for us. Getting saved is not all there is to it. He's saying that He has given us gifts. We notice how these gifts were delivered. They were delivered by Jesus Christ Himself. We find out when Jesus was born, men brought Him gifts. But now we're dealing with Ephesians, which after the resurrection, He ascended above the heavens, and now He gives gifts to us. They brought gifts to Jesus, and in turn, after the power of His resurrection, He has now given gifts to the church and gifts to the believers. The gifts are delivered by none other than Christ Himself. They are grace gifts. That's why He ties verse 7. He's given us grace. And then in verse 8, that through grace we get the gifts. If you have a spiritual gift from the Lord and God has given you this gift, if it didn't come from Jesus, it's not a gift. In fact, if the Lord didn't give it to you, I'd rather not hear anything about it. Because some people have gifted themselves. I'm not talking about talents. Unsaved people have talents. Don't ever confuse gifts with talents. That's why we're in the mess we're in today. Because we've confused talent. There's churches all over this nation that will have very talented people singing, playing instruments. Boy, it's quiet now, isn't it? Oh, they'll feel good. The music will move them. They're very talented. But that doesn't mean they're saved. These gifts do not come to us until the grace of God is imparted to us. But when you are born again, He has a gift for you. Do you know that the Greek word for gifts to the Romans, they used the Greek word for gift, it meant literally a birthday gift. When a child was born, they gave the child a gift. Every year at its birthday, they would give the child another gift. Do you know that you don't get these gifts until you're born again by the Spirit of God? But when the grace of God comes into our life, Jesus does more than just takes our sin away. He does more than forgive us of our sin. He does way beyond that. He does something that we can hardly imagine. He gives us gifts. They're not learned. And they're not earned. If that was the case, they wouldn't be grace gifts. He gives them to us because of His grace. So this is speaking about the Lord is the one that delivers them. But then look at the description of these gifts. You know, you'll find that the gifts are broken down. Spiritual gifts are really broken down into three basic categories. I'm going to name what some of these gifts are in a minute. But let's look at the three categories first. First of all, there are spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, he tells us not to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Then why don't we preach more on it and teach more on it? If he doesn't want us to be ignorant of it, we ought to hear something about it every now and then. Usually when you hear something about it, it's abused. Because they don't understand it's spiritual gifts. The word gifts there, spiritual gifts, comes from the word which is pneumatical, which means spirit. They come by the Spirit. Christ delivers them to us by the Spirit. He uses the Holy Spirit as the person inside of us to enable us with these gifts. So they're spiritual gifts. Second of all, they're supernatural gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:1 talks about spiritual gifts, but then another word for gift appears in the Greek in verse 4. It's called charisma. Now, when I talk about charisma, you think about charismatic. And I've never seen a word so twisted in our society. We don't even know what the word means. We think, when you hear the word charismatic, you think of people that shout and and everything is an operation of the Spirit, and it's always in demonstration, and that's not the word, what the word charisma means. That word means grace. A charismatic person is a graceful person. They are a favored person. They have received something beyond themselves. So you have spiritual gifts and supernatural gifts. What he's saying is that the grace of God takes us to a level that we couldn't do things that we used to do of ourselves. Now we're able to do those things because supernaturally he gives us power to do those things. We see people constantly that do things that within themselves they didn't have the power to do it, the ability to do it, but because of Jesus Christ coming into their life and the grace of God that brought them to the place of forgiveness and salvation, he has now enabled them to do things. I'm telling you, I couldn't preach if it wasn't for the grace of God. There's things that happen that's beyond us and beyond our understanding and beyond our ability, but God gives us those gifts by grace to say, I'm going to do something greater than you. That's your problem. Today you're looking for something, but you look at all of your talents and all of your abilities. I'm talking about something that is bigger than you, greater than you, more powerful than you, has thoughts higher than your thoughts, has a way when you can't make a way. God says, by grace he gifts us. Amen.
Then there are service gifts. These are gifts of ministry. In particular, they're named in this chapter, but in detail in Romans chapter 12. They name those. Now, you don't hear very many sermons on that because that disrupts the organization that man's developed. Somebody said, how should a church operate? By the gifts of God. Thank all three of you for the amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Show you the difference between them. Good news is I'm not preaching on each one of these today. I'm going to run over them, give them to you. Bad news is you're not going to like some of the things I have to say. But the good news is I didn't say it. God did. Gifts are described to us here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When you get to verse 8, are you there? You'll find the first one, the word of wisdom. Stay in the same verse. Verse 8, the word of knowledge. Verse 9, there is the gift of faith. Verse 9, healings. Boy, I'd love to stop right there. I'm so sick of hearing these intellectual people saying, healing isn't here. Healing doesn't exist. If it's from Christ, it exists. Verse 10, miracles. Verse 10, prophecy. Then when you get finished with 1 Corinthians 12, you have to notice in verse 10, are you ready for this? Discerning of spirits. I have to pause right here. Oh, Jesus, help me. Some of you can't stand the fact that people operating under God's Spirit can sense your evil spirit. Now, I don't know what you're used to in the church that you come from. If you hang around here very long, you'll not only find, I hear it all the time, oh, God's presence is there so strong. God's presence is so great. That's why devils show up here too. Yes, sirree. Devils show up here too. Because anywhere that they can overthrow someone that is a professing Christian, that makes their cause greater. And there are people here in this church that in your mind you think you're fooling everybody. But I got news for you. We got some people with discerning spirits.
I've watched them. I've seen people that were faking. They were faking. They were trying to get their foot in the door of the church to try to lay on. Do you know the devices? The Bible says don't be ignorant to the devices of Satan. The devices of Satan is that we'll just work our way in and nobody will know it. And you know what's happened in America? We've gone along with it and we're so afraid that nobody will stand up to it. A professed Christian artist that had written as many number one songs probably of any artist in our generation comes out that he is involved in gross sin. Everyone says, he's awful, he's awful. Look right here. No, he's not. What's awful is for 25 years, God's people blessed him and poured money to him, and nobody had enough guts to call him aside and say, listen, there is evil here, and something is not right, and you need to turn around. God loves you. The Lord wants to forgive you. You know why we have lost a discerning spirit? I'm not talking about show or calling people out, but there are times, some of you know, you're around evil, and God says, don't put your hand to that. You best listen to the gift of God and the Spirit of God and prove the Spirit to see if they're of God and discern the Spirit, lest you be in trouble. Better not lay hands on anyone suddenly. Some of you are up to stuff right now, and I'm telling you, I've already got the green light from heaven. I do. I got the green light from heaven. As soon as you try your stuff, we're carrying you right out of here. Take your old nasty evil spirit with you, because we've already rebuked him in Jesus' name. We're not interested in those spirits that come around and leads the church in the wrong direction. I don't know about you, but all of these churches falling back into the stuff they used to be in before they got saved. That's because no one discerned the Spirit. I'm not interested in going back to drinking or gambling or anything else. I don't know about you, but if God delivers people from that, we want to keep them out of it. Got more to tell you, but you can't bear it right now. But I'm trying to get you to Jesus to save your soul. You keep messing the way you're messing in things that you ought not be in and messing around the way you are. Pretty soon you're going to get your life in a bind. You say, well, I'm running off and go to another church. There's plenty of them never look you in your God-given eyeballs and tell you, you are dealing with something that you don't want to deal with. But once you're in the pit, the devil will tell you, you can't be forgiven. I'm going to try to keep you out of the pit. It is our job as believers to discern what is of God and what is not of God. And when we discern the Spirit, it takes the help of heaven to do that. I got to move. Verse 10 is tongues. Boy, hear that. Verse 10 also is the interpretation of tongues. Now, that's the gifts that most people know about. But then when you get to Romans chapter 12, you'll find out he repeats, he says, those that prophesy. He talks about the gift of ministry. He talks about the gift of teaching. Talks about the gift of exhortation. Talks about the gift of giving. Talks about the gift of ruling. Talks about the gift of mercy. But you don't hear those preached on out of Romans 12. But if you start in Romans 12 and reading through, you'll find every one of those listed. And that's for the operations of the church. That deals with the administration, with the operation, how services are to be operated, how you're to function inside the body of Christ. All of that is given to us to show us the need for these spiritual gifts. Now, every one of you that are saved has a gift. So I want to tell you what I'm looking forward to seeing over the next few weeks. I remember when my children, Candy and I's children, and our grandchildren both, discovered their hand for the first time. Do any of you remember that? They always had a hand. They didn't know it. But then one day, I can't wait to see that inside this church. I can't wait to see that. There are people with gifts. Now you say, but wait a minute, preacher. There's gifts that are controversial and gifts that are confusing. Oh, it's not only having the gift, it's knowing when to use it. Years ago, I was given a gift. The gift was a rifle. But I didn't shoot the rifle in the house. I shot the rifle when I went hunting. I shot the rifle when I went out to target practice. There's a place that God says, use that gift. That's not only discovering that baby finds their hand and they know they've got a hand, but they have no idea when to use that hand, how to use that hand. That's the purpose of this, to help you first discover your gift, then to help you not only discover your gift, but also to develop that gift, and finally to deploy that gift. These are not toys to play with. They are tools for the glory of God. Not only has God given us these gifts, but He's wanting to help us develop them to utilize them at the right time. The gifts are grace gifts because of Jesus' resurrection to each one of them. Well, how do I discover it? It starts with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't start with somebody telling you, oh, you look like a teacher. Oh, you look like a preacher. Oh, I got blessed when you shout, so you try to shout to bless them again. These gifts are not given to draw attention to us. They are given for the purpose of bringing the body together fitly. The gifts should not bring confusion nor division. The gifts should bring unity to a church. That's the purpose of them, to make us all stronger. But they all come the same way. It's by grace, but through the Spirit of God. Same power source, different gifts. In our kitchen, we have all kinds of things plugged in. Mixers and different things plugged in the kitchen. They're all plugged in. The microwave is plugged in. All of those things are plugged in. They all have a different purpose. But they all have the same power source. Anywhere you're at a place where the Spirit of God is, if it's really the Holy Spirit, He does not testify of Himself, He testifies of Jesus. The end result is this doesn't bring confusion. Instead, it brings clarity that Jesus Christ is the grace giver, the gift giver. He is the one that supplies us with everything that we need. And in the end, we work together better, love each other better, because they are the gifts of God. So He gives these gifts, and He gives the right people to help us develop these gifts. I told you I had an exit for every one of them. I'm out. I know when to quit. The next one might take a while. You have a gift. Have you discovered it? Well, how does that happen? How? I hear it often. How can I find my place to serve? How can I be used of God? To be used of God, you have to be usable. You have to get yourself at a place where you're saying, Lord, I don't ask for the gift. You choose what's best for me. So if my gift is a gift of helps and ministry to others, if all I ever do for You, Lord, is bake bread for families to eat in time of sorrow, let it be the best bread I've ever baked. If it is to have a position of ruling, let me not rule out of selfish nature, but let me rule by the Spirit. Lord, I want to give. If You're saying, oh, preacher, If I could just get a bunch of money, I'd give. If you're not giving with a little money, you'll not give with a lot of money. That's not your gift. Discover your gift. Develop your gift. Deploy your gift. But it starts by saying, Lord, I want to be usable.